Mark Montgomery Show is sponsored by California Small Business Coalition on Money 105.5.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
You're a miserable parasite. You're just after my money. My money. My money.
I want that money!
Money, money.
Never sleeps, pal.
Money, money, money.
What's worth doing is worth doing for money. Worth doing for money.
It's all about bucks, kid. Capitalism at its finest.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American small business owner, here is Mark Montgomery.
Welcome to the second hour of Small Biz Talk Radio. We are coming at you live and local. You can join the show by calling 866-576-1055 or email me during the show, Mark at smallbiz.com. And for live streaming and podcasts, go to smallbiztalkradio.com and for all other information. And, of course, it is, well, it's not Tuesday, it's Monday, but because of the Biz Breakfast Meeting tomorrow morning, Tom Bones in studio today with Insurance Matters, along with his guest, Kim Silvers from Silvers HR, going to be talking about Sacramento employment trends, employee wages, et cetera, et cetera. So, Tom, welcome.
Well, thanks, Greg. Good to be here. Good to be here with Kim and all that, and everybody out there listening. You know, before we talk to Kim and open another fraud file briefly about employer fraud... Before we do that, I do want to mention a couple of things. You know, the time we've been together, Mark, over the last few months, it seemed like it's been forever.
Forever.
Sorry, you know that came across wrong.
It came across honestly.
Okay, boy, I tell you, it's good to have allies.
Sure.
It really is. but
we're mine.
Yes, well, you know what I mean, darn you. You know what I mean. But, you know, I want to emphasize a couple of things before we get into some of the more serious matters. And the fact that what we've been trying to accomplish and will continue to accomplish is that bringing resources and advisors like Kim and others to help employers grow their business, their practice and organization is really very, very key. And to share knowledge and experience and with people like Kim and others that, you know, really are on the, walking the talk. They're making a payroll. They're working direct with employers. And they're bringing forth ideas to make the whole job run the business a lot easier so that you can make appropriate decisions. And my whole idea in this program is to, you know, surround yourself with folks that know more than you know. And your life in business and employee relations will be that much better. So I just hope that all you out there will continue to take all these resources in stride, and when your insurance agent does not provide them to you, ask them. He or she should be providing these to you because it's important that you know about them and take advantage of them. So on end of preaching, I know it's not Saturday and Sunday for those. It's a Sabbath for them, but it's a Sabbath Monday, I guess, on the Mark Montgomery Show and Insurance Matters. But now I really, really like to talk about a little bit about fraud. And this is a little different twist. The reason why it's a different twist is that we know about the employees that are taking advantage of employers, but we don't really talk about what some things that employers are doing. And the PBS Frontline Report did a story. Others have written books about it. And I want to point out a couple things just for all you out there that are listening and employers that there's other stuff happening and maybe some of your friends in business are doing as well as certain medical practitioners, et cetera. The folks in Florida, their Department of Insurance did a survey not long ago and they found that between 13 and 14% of employers are actually operating without workers' compensation insurance. Well, you say, well, that's in Florida, but it seems to be throughout the country that the numbers vary from one state to another, but not only are employers not buying the insurance coverage, we're finding that those that do in this particular Florida study, and we're finding this in California as well, employers are underreporting the payroll. They're playing games with the books. They got a couple different sets of books. Also, they are, maybe you have a roofer, and this is an exaggeration, exaggeration. Now, you have a roofer out there on someone's roof, and you're classifying them as an employee in the office. Now, Mark, you'd never do that, and
not
Kim would never do that.
Nope.
But the point is, that's happening. And then we have the issue of independent contractors. And last week, we had a session just about independent contractor relationships. It's pretty complicated, but employers still continue to do that. Well, what does that all mean? Well, it all means that you and I, as taxpayers, are paying for a lot of this. And there was another study and actually a book written by one of our local PhDs. His name is J. Paul Lee at UC Davis. Dr. Lee is in health medicine. He's in has a background in a variety of different areas. He and some other doctors did a study and wrote a book about costs of occupational injuries and illnesses. Their whole premise was that, and they found that 27% of all occupational illnesses and injuries really are paid for by workers' compensation, and the rest is all paid by you and I as taxpayers through Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Now, some of you out there are saying, hey, you know, this just doesn't make any sense. You know, there may be some credence to this. Let's face it. The workers' compensation system is just too darn complicated. Employers need to have an advisor helping them advise them of the do's and don'ts. The poor workers that get injured out there need a guide to navigate through the system. And insurance companies and applicant attorneys, they really need to be supervised. So what's the best thing to do? Really try to avoid the system. And I don't mean not buy workers' compensation insurance. I mean, let's don't have injured workers. Let's make a concerted attempt to avoid that. So the whole point was really to dwell on those latter things and to point out there's a lot of stuff going on. We're all contributing to it, both employers, employees, medical practitioners. God, I feel like I'm on a preachy day today, but I don't mean to be, but there's just certain things that I think that we all need to be aware of. And that is one point, and maybe people don't agree with it, but that's the way it is, I think.
An interesting statistic, and Kim, you may know something on this, and that is, you know, during these economic times that we've been in, the violations, in essence, on what Tom's talking about, on maybe not carrying enough coverage or cooking the books, you know, so to speak, or maybe not having workers' comp at all, do those numbers increase in times like this? I would suspect they do.
I suspect they do. I don't know that because no one ever tells me that they're not carrying workers' comp. But I have to tell you, as an employer, it really ticks me off when I find out that my counterparts, sometimes my competitors, aren't paying their fair share. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, I'm going to pay the portion of the costs for their employees. So
right.
I think it's just a teamwork, if nothing else, and mm-hmm. we're all in the same boat, and everybody needs to belly up to the bar.
Yep. I agree, and I think that now, being devil's advocate here for a moment, though, is that you have new businesses or businesses that are struggling, and in times like this, you have that survival instinct kicked in, too. I have seen so many people over the years, been around for a long time, that just totally honest. I mean, you could hand them your life savings, and you'd know every dime would be there, pull really some kind of funny stuff when their backs are against the wall. And the reason I'm saying that is because in times like this, or maybe even not in times like this, a person wants to start a business, and maybe they're out of work or whatever it may be, and they go down and they say, well, I got to get my workers' comp, and I'll pick on workers' comp here for a sec. There's lots of things that can be involved in this. And all of a sudden they realize, wow, if I pay that, I can't open my business. I can't do my business. I'm stuck on unemployment for the rest of my life or something, or welfare or whatever it may be. And they make the decision, okay, I'm not going to do workers' comp right now. I'm just going to have to try and get by on the system to get my business going. Then I'll get workers' comp, you know, once I get that income, you know, coming in. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because we are one of the most expensive states in the country, you know, on that. So when people get into business, and I'm talking about fair rates is what I'm talking about, because when there's that line, that gray line so often that legislators, governments don't know when they've crossed that line, and all of a sudden your economy starts going underground. We have an underground economy anyway, but more and more of it starts going underground because you can't survive above ground. You're going to lose your business, and you start making decisions to say, well, I can't quite abide by those rules. Not that I'm approving that, or, you know, saying that that's okay. I'm just saying that's a reality. you know, out there.
I think the other thing I see is not necessarily by commission, but by omission, new business owners don't realize sometimes that they have to have workers' compensation.
You bet.
You know, they think it's for roofers.
But you know, there's no excuse for that, Kim. And to be a little contrarian here, as I sometimes like to be, is the fact that, you know, you better know what you're doing before you get involved in business. And most of us work with employers that are fairly sophisticated and understand the basic. But you're right. There are people out there cutting too many corners. But the penalties, financial penalties, are just horrendous. And there's potential jail time just for workers' comp alone. It just makes no sense. And, you know, it's good to have you back again.
We
want to get back on track, but I think we're on the same track. But you know, a number of folks maybe not remember much about you. Mark and I know you. Diane knows you. But share with our audience a little more about you and what you do and how you can help them. About your practice.
Sure. So our firm is Silvers HR, and we are the outsourced HR department for many small, mid-sized companies in Northern California particularly. So we help small businesses who don't need a full-time HR specialist or certainly don't want one. And we bring a wealth of experience to those organizations just in terms of compliance, wage and hour rules, how you write an employee handbook, policies, compensation plan design, helping put their benefits together. So we're that back office, and we're on a retainer with them, and they call us as they need us.
Well, that's great. Thanks for that update, and which one of the reasons why you're here is to talk about what is happening update. There was a recent article actually Saturday in the Sacramento Bee. I'm looking at it now. Folks out there, you can't see this, but if you read the Sacramento Bee, and I'm not selling subscriptions right now because Mark would not agree with that, but it's Dale Kassler, who's a reporter for the Bee, wrote a fairly good piece called Job Trends Point to Growth. And Kim, you're out there working with employers on a daily basis. What sort of things do you see employment trend-wise here in the Valley?
Well, I certainly see small business particularly hiring more employees. In some cases, they're hiring them on a part-time basis or an intermittent basis, but they're actually starting to bring on more folks as opposed to not filling a job when a job is vacated. And they're actually filling jobs that didn't exist before. In my firm, you know, I had to hire another consultant because we have so much work. And, you know, I just can't do it with the staff I have. So I'm starting to see people hire. I'm also starting to see employees leave. And for a long time, we've had this lid on employees moving from one employer to the next because they were concerned about job security. And I think they're starting to feel a little more confident about their skills and about their marketability. And so those A players, as I refer to them, the people who actually managed to stay around through all of the downturn, are now starting to say, you know, I'm going to take this experience and these skills and look elsewhere because I think I can get a better deal. I think I can market myself better.
Do you see certain industries, Kim, where there's more movement than in others?
You know, we have employers in every industry you can imagine, Tom. We've got the chicken pluckers in Stockton, and we've got accounting offices and production facilities and, you know, everything in between. And I don't necessarily see that there's one industry or a few that, you know, are different than others. So, you know, I just feel like everybody's starting to feel the wave and move upward.
We're here with Tom Bone with Insurance Matters and Kim Silvers from Silvers HR. We'll be right back. I'm Mark Montgomery, Small Biz Talk Radio.
Employers, are you getting tired of the distractions that keep you from focusing on your goals and objectives? Are you tired of dealing with several different insurance agents to manage your various insurance programs? Hi, I'm Tom Bone of ISU Insurance Services and host of Insurance Matters on the Mark Montgomery Show. Listen every Tuesday morning as we simplify complex insurance issues on Money 105.5 FM. Let's simplify the management of your insurance. Give me a call at 265-3837. That's 265-3837 for a complimentary view of all your insurance matters, because insurance matters, and online at insurancematters.biz.
This is the Mark Montgomery Show on Money 105.5.
We're in session right along with Tom Bone with Insurance Matters and his guest, Kim Silvers from Silvers HR. So, Tom, take it away.
Well, Kim, we just kind of ended up talking about some positive growth happened here in the Valley, which is a good thing. But, you know, the employers haven't been in the tune of hunting for employees and hiring and so forth. So how do they know that they're going to offer a good benefit program, a competitive wage? Where do they get this information since most of them have been focusing on the details of their business or practice?
I think you're absolutely right. And this is a really important piece of the employment package, obviously, how much people get paid. So that's what I'm primarily going to talk about. I think it's important that employers look not only outside the company at what competitors are paying for similar jobs, but they also look at the internal equity. So we usually in the compensation nerd circles, we call that internal and external equity. And there are lots of different sources that employers can go to find external equity. There are government resources. The EDD, the Employment Development Department here in California, actually has a terrific link on their website to hundreds of jobs and what the pay rates are for those jobs.
What does that mean? It's great to look at, but is it accurate?
I think it's quite accurate, and your tax dollars are helping gather that information.
Well, I appreciate that, knowing that it's being useful in some way. But so you're finding that there's some credibility there.
Oh, absolutely. And we use that quite often with our clients who don't want to pay for a big salary survey. Salary surveys are expensive. So you can go to the EDD and find that. Also, the Bureau of Labor Statistics on the federal level has national data on, again, hundreds of different jobs. They'll have, you know, entry level, they'll have median, they'll have mean salaries, and break those into hourly, annual rates. So I find that to be very helpful. There are also places that employers can go to purchase salary information. As I said, it's expensive, but many times their associations, if they have an industry association they belong to, associations will underwrite salary surveys, as well as you can purchase them from groups like Radford and Culpeper. And that.
Why would an employer want to pay for a survey since there seems to be a tremendous amount of information out there?
Well, I think the big reason to pay for surveys is because there are unique jobs. For example, in the Radford survey, it really does focus on the high-tech world. And so all the big players in high tech participate in that survey, and they will have the nitty-gritty of different levels of jobs and tech jobs and engineering jobs that you wouldn't find in a free survey. There are also other places that I would caution employers to, if they use them, to think twice about. There are certainly surveys on the internet that are available. I won't name names, but they'll use the survey data that employees actually participate in. So, you know, I can go online and I can say, what does an administrative assistant get paid? And they'll say, tell us what your pay is, and then we'll throw that into our pool. So you don't really know if it's an actual match for that job. You don't know if the employee is reporting their accurate salary. And so I don't use those surveys much.
Employers are also need to be concerned about, I've got a group of folks that have been with me through this very difficult financial storm that we've had the last couple of years. How do I treat them? I'm going to thinking about bringing some new folks in. How are they going to feel? How is this going to affect them? The morale, there we go, the right word, the morale of the staff. How do I have their benefit program keep pace with others, and what should I do? Because I haven't given them a raise, perhaps, in 2 to 3 years. What is your approach to that type of issue?
Well, I think that's a real concern. I remember once I was negotiating a salary for a job, and, of course, you never are
you
going
mean,
to make—
You personally?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was working in corporate, or trying to work in a corporate job, and I was negotiating the salary. And, you know, you never will get the pay bump as much as when you first started a job. You're always going to have much more leverage to negotiate salary increase. So I'm negotiating all I can. And then at one point, the VP said to me, you know, Kim, I can't pay you anymore because I'm going to have some internal equity problems. And that immediately shut me down because I did not want to have one of my peers being concerned that I was paying more. So I think employers need to look at that and say, geez, are my current employees being paid equitably before I bring somebody else in from outside? Or is that person I'm bringing in have a stronger skill set, have more experience, they're going to have more responsibility, and I can justify paying them more?
So again, do the surveys you find help to address this initially before you start bringing folks in?
Yes, I would certainly look at external surveys to say, is the salary that I'm paying my current person adequate before I start bringing in new people at a higher salary?
So it's the first step that there needs to be some thought given to the whole process. Then the first step is how I'm going to treat the existing employees, and then I want to bring some outside people in, so that'd be the next step. So it just strikes me that since employers have so much to do and they can get involved in the minutiae of their practice and organization, why not have someone like you do all this work for them? It seems like it might be more cost effective since time is just a valuable commodity.
Well, it may be if they have a number of jobs that they want to look at and they want to look at a bigger pool. If it's just one or two employees, certainly they can do that on their own. I don't want to get in the way of somebody saying, I don't want to do this at all because I don't want to pay a consultant. I think, you know, the free data is out there and they can get a good benchmark. And I think it's also important to just keep in touch with your peers about what they're paying people. I go on Craigslist and look at what other people are posting job lists at and what the rates are, just to get a feel. Am I in the right ballpark? And, you know, certainly a business owner can do that on their own without having a consultant come in and run a big survey.
Seems kind of time-consuming, though, but I do understand what you're saying. It's a value judgment the employer is going to make. What other benefits do you see that employers need to be considering other than just cash benefits? What other, as far as medical programs, disability, are you seeing any changes there in the trend here locally that employers, when it comes to hiring or reviewing their benefit programs for existing employees that went through the storm with them, what are they doing?
Well, you know, obviously the employee needs to be able to pay the PG&E bill, and then so cash is very important. Now, how much of that is a base pay versus at-risk pay, some sort of incentives, is entirely up to the employer and might be helpful. But certainly there are other things. Health insurance is huge now, and certainly as there are more baby boomers in the market, they are looking at, you know, when can I be covered? When am I going to get health insurance? And I think certainly perks are there. There are lots of additional benefits that the employer needs to look at.
You're listening to Mark Montgomery right here on Small Biz Talk Radio, along with Tom Bone and Kim Silvers.
When it comes to your health, you check with your medical doctor to make sure you're okay. So when it comes to insurance, employers, you need to review your insurance programs with a professional to make sure your insurance responds to the risks and threats you face each day. Hello, I'm Tom Bone of ISU Insurance Services and host of Insurance Matters on the Mark Montgomery Show. Listen every Tuesday morning as we simplify complex insurance issues. Give me a call at 265-3837. That's 265-3837 for a complimentary review of all your insurance matters, because insurance matters, and online at insurancematters.biz.
The question I had was, you know, Kim and your dealings and Tom and your dealings, we've got this California health care that they're pushing, which is actually will come forth prior to even Obamacare taking place. But, you know, we didn't want to get into the weeds here, but I just was curious on if small businesses are thinking about this a little bit.
Well, the answer is yes, and they always have a question about single pay and this health insurance exchange and what's going on with the federal law. The problem basically is that nobody knows what's going to happen, Mark. And I think that maybe Kim might have a point of view on this, is that the best thing to do is to watch and wait, but to try to be informed at the right time. And an advisor that's working with them, whether it's Kim or myself or someone like that, can bring them up to speed at the right time. It doesn't do any good to worry about it. The Supreme Court's going to make certain decisions. We don't know what they're going to do, and it remains to be seen. Kim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I tell our clients, you know, we don't know how this will evolve or if it will even be in existence in 2 years. So I would focus more on the day-to-day right now and let the insurance folks and the government and the Supreme Court take care of the decisions on how this will look in 2014.
And when it comes to California particular laws that might be implemented, I'm not a political person, as all you know, but Mark is leading that group, and I really encourage Mark to continue on getting you all involved. It's important out there that you don't give away your proxy, that you actually get involved and voice your opinion to your legislator, your congressperson, your assembly person and senator. That's the right word, mm-hmm. isn't it, Mark?
Yep.
Words. And let them know, because if you don't, maybe somebody else isn't. And I've always learned that if you think your question is stupid or your comment, it typically everybody else is the same question or comment, but they're reluctant to say something about it.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's just so important that people become aware. You know, it's quite often I look out, out of the window here and I see the traffic going down the freeway, and a common comment in here is, I wonder, you know, how many people are really paying attention going down that freeway there on what's really coming down the line? And the reason I say that, the reason I brought that up is because it's the uncertainty out there that keeps people from hiring many times and or expanding their business. And it's always taken into consideration on whether they're going to stay where they are, they're going to move, and you know, all of these uncertainties always feed into the equation.
And one thing, too, that I want to mention early, I'll mention it right now. You're all out there going to have some questions about this and related topics, and Kim Silvers is really easy to contact. And Kim, what is your email address?
Well, you can contact me at kim@silvershr.com or on our website. We have a contact us. We're at silvershr.com.
That's great. And please feel free to reach out, because Kim is a very valuable resource. One of the things that we want to touch upon before we run out of time today is that there is some legislation that is going to take effect this next year, as I recall. It has to do with commission plans. A lot of our listeners out there are paying employees on a commission basis or a bonus program. What can you share with us about this legislation and what it really means?
Well, this law goes into effect January 1st of 2013, and it does require that any commission plans be in writing to the employee, and the employee have signed them. And I have been a proponent of this for many years. I find whether it's a commission plan or it's just a bonus plan, that it's important to have those criteria in writing and to make sure that the employee understands that. So it doesn't have to have any specific legal review. There are very general guidelines on what the commission plan needs to entail. It's just a matter of it needs to be in writing. So, employers have plenty of time to get ready for that. And I often find when employers have to go before the labor commissioner because there's some dispute over somebody's final pay or how they were paid, the employer gets to make the decisions on what the pay program is, as long as they're legal and the person's making minimum wage and such. But if that's not in writing and the employee assumed one thing, the employer's practice was different than what the employer intended or the employer said, that's when the problems arise. So if there's a plan that's in writing, then the labor commissioner will in most cases defer to that, and that really is to the benefit of the employer. So get the plans in writing, and there's some simple things that we suggest our clients put in there, but certainly just to have what the criteria is most important.
Why does there seem to be reluctance on the employer's part to have transparency in employee manual, in guidelines, and this legislation, to me, is nonsensical. It should have been, it's common sense. You just share with what you're going to offer, have, and then everybody knows, and then there's less arguments and less time spent on defensive things. It's more, let's go out and get the business. What
yes.
do you see?
It's unfortunate that this has to be legislated, because it should just be a good business practice. But I find in many cases, employers just don't have the time to put it in writing. And so it's, look, let's just get started and let's get this out, or everybody knows what this job entails. And so that's what you get paid on. And I want some flexibility as the employer to change it up now and then. So I don't want to put it in writing. And, for all those reasons, it eventually doesn't get put in writing. It becomes a practice rather than a policy.
Well, so often too, Kim, I've been in commission types of sales, gosh, throughout my life off and on. And it comes down to the fact that so often an employer says, this is my standard commission, and this is the way the program works. They don't put something in writing, and they just go out there and sell. There's your desk, go sell, kind of thing. And you're absolutely right. When it comes back to bite you is when that employee, all of a sudden, maybe they're unhappy with something. They leave, and they've got a commission coming in, and maybe all of a sudden you remember that, well, I'm sure we talked about it, and that is that if you leave the company and you have commissions, for example, that are maybe maybe in escrow or in the pipeline that, yes, you were on a 70% split, you know, on these commissions, but if you leave the company and now we have to have somebody within the company work on that commission, you know, or on that transaction, now you're cut to 50-50 and the other employee gets 20% or whatever that agreement, you know, may very well be. Maybe you're down to 10%, you know, or something now. They don't remember that part. And so if you don't have it in writing, they say, wait a minute, I had a 70% split and I've seen this. Courts look at this and they'll sit there and say, wait a minute, you consistently paid them 70% all the way down the line. Yes, they quit for this reason. Why aren't you still paying them 70%? And in many cases, an employer will lose on that one because it was nothing in writing. There was nothing prior agreement, and it was their word, you know, just whose word do you take? Kim, I had a question for you. We were talking about it at last break, and that is, I'm an employer. I hire someone in, and we touched on it a little bit earlier on, you got to be careful on your pay structure within your business. You don't want to have existing employees at a certain wage, and then maybe you bring somebody else in and you pay them a little bit more, and then you have problems, you know, down the line. But you put something in front of me and say, well, sign here. Here's the policy manual. And in there it says, you do not discuss wages. So, you know, we don't want anyone to know in our company what anybody's earning, you know, here. And I've seen that. I've run into that over the years. But you had an interesting comment on that.
Well, I do, because it's illegal in California to restrict employees from talking about their personal wages.
Yes,
so
that's the comment.
Certainly you can say you can't reveal other people's right. wages or salary, but you can't restrict them from talking about their own.
Yeah, that was interesting to me.
I was very surprised, too, but it just goes to show you, even though that we in business are involved and we think that we're informed and we're involved in radio yeah. shows and try to share information, that we need to rely upon advisors like you, Kim, and others to keep us updated.
I'd love to keep you out of jail, Tom, so you just call me.
Thank you.
Hey, me too.
Thank you, and I hope you have the bail money. It's important. And speaking of bail money and bonuses, there strikes me that there must be certain documentation when it comes to these bonus programs, and are there some specific clauses or forms or documentation that really needs to be included other than just, well, here's a piece of paper and here's what it is?
Well, there aren't any legal requirements that say this is what a bonus program or a commission program has to entail. But there are things that when we work with clients and help them develop these that we always recommend that they have in those. And the first one is keep it simple. You know, I have a client that's a retail client. They have 13 different criteria that employees are bonused on at the end of each month. The employees are so confused over what they should be paying attention to. It really is too much. So you have one to three things. You know, you tell me to go work on margin, number of calls to make, revenue, profit, whatever. That's what I will pay attention to. And boy, especially these sales folks, you point them toward that measurement and that's what they focus on. So certainly keeping it simple. We have usually recommend that you have examples in the plan document to say this is how this would be paid out given, you know, these numbers.
So it's like a picture so someone can try and relate to it instead of just a lot of legal or verbal ease.
Yes, and the more you can give examples, then the more likely someone will understand it. Very important in California that in a commission or a bonus plan, you state when that compensation is actually earned. Mm. And so the employer can say, as Mark alluded to earlier, the employer can say it's earned when we've collected the pay from the vendor or from the client, but it's not earned until then, or it's earned at the end of this period if you are still actively employed and the client is still engaged, whatever.
Earned and payable.
But earned is a really, okay. really important
That's the trigger
term.
Word. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's important to have some language about who resolves this if there are different interpretations. Typically, it's the CEO, but you should say, you know, this is who has the final say. Important to have in there how this commission or bonus will be paid if the employee changes jobs in the middle of the review period, or if they're transferred, or in most cases if they're terminated, how it will be paid. And usually we write compensation plans so that the employee must stay, be employed until either the end of the period or until the payout date in order for it to be considered earned.
So the idea is clarity, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And are there any other provisions that you could think of that you may throw in as well?
Well, as an employer, because we always represent employers in these matters. We're not attorneys, by the way, but as the consultant. But we always say if the company has the right to make changes to this program at any time. You can't make changes retroactively, and that wouldn't be very, very fair anyway, but certainly you want to reserve that right.
Kim, people are going to have more questions. Let's share with them again how to reach you.
Sure. They can reach us through our website at silvershr.com or reach me directly at kim@silvershr.com.
Just got an email in, you know, Kim, and I'm going to address this to you. It says, as Tom and Kim spoke of employees looking around, one big subject came to mind, employee retention. Unfortunately, too many employers have the attitude they don't need to dedicate much energy to this. In other words, and that's employee retention. So instead of, you know, just maybe if you have any comments, you know, on that as far as retaining employees. We talk about them looking around and maybe going and interviewing, you know, at other places. What should employers consider, what should they be looking at in retaining current workers? Because they probably are out there looking around maybe now for a better position. Should they be considering raises, or how should they be talking to their employees?
I think employee retention is huge. And, of course, you know, the statistics are that depending on the skill level of that individual, it could be 25% to 125% of the first year's salary in cost to replace that individual, not to mention the client relationships, the time to train them, the overtime that other people spend while they're ramping up. So that's huge. And so as I see the economy starting to turn, we're seeing clients starting to say, let's go look at how people are paid. Are my people being paid competitively right now externally? Am I recognizing my top performers? Am I giving them a piece of the action? Do we have some bonus or incentive plan out there for them? I think employee retention is really, really important now that the market's starting to open up.
Okay. Employers just don't seem to understand, and from my perspective as an insurance broker who's brought into all kinds of questions, including HR, which I defer them to someone like him, what the real actual costs are, those indirect costs that they don't sit back and think, well, gee, what is this going to cost as far as training time and the value of one's time? And that's one thing that I want to emphasize is I call those indirect costs that are not hard costs mm-hmm. necessarily that they need to think about.
Yep, they do. Tom, I want you to give your information out real quick.
265-3837 or Google me, Tom Bone Insurance Matters, and you'll find me there.
Well, you can always go to smallbiztalkradio.com and click on your logo there, too.
You know, that's right. Thank you for doing that. Really, thank
you. All that
you.
Information is right there. And, Kim, I want to thank you for coming into the studio and sharing all your expertise.
Thank you, Mark. It was fun.
I think this is about the third or fourth time you've been here, right?
It is, yes.
It's always great having you. So, anyway, thank you both again. You've been listening, of course, to Mark Montgomery here on Small Biz Talk Radio. Tomorrow is the Small Biz Breakfast Meeting at Hagen Oaks, and that starts at 6:30 in the morning. And if you are interested in going, the tickets for breakfast are $10. Great, great value. We have Travis Hossauer coming in. He's going to be talking about the ADA issues here facing, well, the good old parasitic, I call them, attorneys, chasing small businesses out of business here in California. And then we have Vita Thomas coming in, talking about social networking liability and new laws for 2012. And coming up Wednesday, we've gotten by. Let me go back to Biz Meeting for a moment. Go to smallbiztalkradio.com and click on Register Now for all that information. Coming in Wednesday, this is going to be a big subject. Matter of fact, tomorrow we're talking about ADA issues at the Biz Breakfast Meeting. Coming in Wednesday, we have Beth Gaines. It's going to be online. And she's, of course, assemblyperson from the 4th District. She has a couple of bills before the legislature now. Legislation to curb rampant disability access lawsuit abuse, pinpoint conflicting ADA regulations, and a lot more. It's going to be a fascinating discussion with Beth Gaines. And, of course, Bob Dutton has a bill that he has put forward also. We're going to be talking about these bills on Wednesday, ADA issues. And then coming up on Wednesday at 8:30 to 9, we have Katie Grimes coming in, and she's an investigative journalist with Cal Watchdog. And I'm not sure, there's so many subjects she can talk about having to do with what's going on under the dome. So that and more coming up on Wednesday, but don't forget the Biz Breakfast Meeting tomorrow. You've been listening to Mark Montgomery here on Money 105.5 FM, the Wall Street Business Network. Have a wonderful day, folks. Mark Montgomery signing out.